First, today I want to talk about the gap that exists between our knowledge of God and how we often respond in our real life. Jesus said, now today, having arrived at the tomb to remove the stone, but once again, we see Martha stalling Jesus. That's the scene. Once again, I wanted to just get to the moment when Jesus says to Lazarus to come out, and we'll be done with chapter 11. But here again, Jesus speaks, but Martha did not really respond in faith. So, as we have seen, Martha just expressed her faith in Jesus Christ in verse 27. Remember, she said, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God." That amazing confession of faith, and we said, from that moment, she had made a transition from spiritual death to life. So she has that knowledge. She believes what Christ revealed to her. But when it comes to the moment of obedience, remove the stone, Martha once again hesitates. You know, a few years back, I was a children's ministry pastor. I've done many different departments in my ministry experience. But for about a couple of years, I was a children's ministry pastor. But one of the things that I've learned is young children, they have great memories. So if I have given them, let's say, 5 points, next Sunday, many of children will recall those 5 points verbatim. They have great memories. And it was just amazing how they could absorb and remember the things that I've taught them. But being children, there's not much of a connection between knowledge, what I've taught them, and how they behave. So I have learned how to teach them. Just lecturing or teaching and preaching really do not do much to them. But when I catch them in the moment and tell them how they are behaving does not connect with what they have learned, then they will learn. And I've heard from pet owners, that's how they train pets for potty training the pets. You do not lecture the cat or dog. In the moment of their business, you teach them. We could measure spiritual maturity by measuring the gap between biblical knowledge that we have and the responses that we show in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. We know much about God. We study much of the Bible. We listen to sermons and read books. So we have this knowledge like Martha. But in the simple command, remove the stone, there is a big gap between what she knows and how she responds. That gap between theology and reality has to be closed. And that is a lifelong process, isn't it? All of us have that gap. And that gap will be closed through lifelong prayer, faithful study of His Word, and obedience to His commands. It is not simply knowledge, okay? So it is not simply reading a lot, studying a lot, and going to conferences a lot will bring that gap to a close. But there has to be prayer, study, and obedience to His commands. So before we even begin to look at these verses, I want us to remind ourselves of that gap that we all have. So let me ask you a question. Do you see the gap? Often crisis will reveal the gap, like today, this time during coronavirus. We thought we were here, but because of that crisis, we realize we have fallen short of that mature status that we all desire. So recognize that gap. And by faith, you have to work on that gap to bring it to a close. At the end of this coronavirus, there will be two types of Christians that I imagine. First group of people, Christians would be those are people who just want it to end, right? I just want this coronavirus shut in to end. I cannot wait until I go back to my normal life, that first group. But there will be second group of Christians who will carefully examine themselves during this time and try to locate the gap, and it will break their hearts. And by appealing to the grace of God, they will want to close the gap. Lord, teach me to grow up during this time. Two types of Christians. First group will not mature because they just want it to end. But the second group, I hope we all could belong to that second group, who could pause and try to locate the gap like Martha between our knowledge of God and how we have fallen, where we have fallen short of the glory of God, and ask God to bridge the gap. Lord, help me to bridge the gap. I want to grow through this pandemic period. And we'll talk about the solutions to this gap in a moment. Now, let us look at verse 39. Verse 39, Jesus has now come to the tomb, and this is what he says. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." You expect preachers to say at this moment regarding stench, quoting from King James Version that says, "By this time, he stinketh." But we have to see more than that. Why hesitate? She probably spoke these words spontaneously in response to what Jesus said. Probably she was thinking, "Are you out of your mind?" So she wants to protect her dead brother. There is a protest. There is a fear, panic, and even horror in her voice. So in today's term, when you think about it, when Jesus says to remove the stone, that command of Jesus is offensive and hurtful and insensitive to the victim and his family. And I realize the biggest obstacle in obeying Christ's simple command for Martha is Martha herself. The fear of stench. We need to pause and think about this for a second. She said, "Lord, by this time there will be stench," is a statement that is coming out of her own experience. It is common sense. This was winter time, so it was not as hot as normal months and days in Palestine. But nonetheless, that man, after 4 days, everybody knows by their own experience that decomposition has started and begun, and it is just, there is a death smell odor coming out of that death. That statement is confirmed and verified by her own experiences and people's experiences and common sense. But notice how that common sense and experience, they are suppressing her faith, preventing her from obeying simple command from Jesus. Remember how Jesus said in verse 25, what did he say? "I am what? I am the resurrection and the life." To which she said, "I have believed it." To exercise our minds, why don't we substitute the subject of verse 39 with what Jesus said, who he was. "I am the resurrection and the life." And let me read it in this way. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Remove the stone." And change that into this, because Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life," said, "remove the stone." Martha said to him, "Lord," and let's substitute that word, "I am the resurrection and the life. By this time, there will be a stench." Jesus said, "Remove the stone." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life here and now. I am the resurrection and the life," said, "remove the stone." And to the resurrection and the life, she protests, there will be a stench. You see the contrast between who Jesus truly is at that moment, not simply as Jesus, Yeshua, but as "I am the resurrection and the life." What is then stench before the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the very life of the universe, Jesus Christ? That's why I have given you the Belgic Confession once again to remind ourselves of who Christ is, the creator of God, co-essential and co-eternal with the Father. And here in front of this tomb in Palestine, here he is, the resurrection and the life, who says to Martha, remove the stone, to whom Martha says, panicking, Lord, there will be a stench. Often used analogy is, what is stench? Stench is like holding up a candlelight in the middle of Category 5 hurricane wind. What is stench before the creator of the universe, the very life of all lives in this universe, the source of life? But you see how Martha is reacting is often how we are reacting. We are delimiting God's power by our own head and telling God and Jesus, according to my own experience, by the way, my dead brother will stink and I don't want to offend anybody. You see who's offended in verse 39? It is not Martha, but it is Jesus, because he just revealed himself to be what? The life, the resurrection and the life. And Martha says, no, no, no. So what is stench for us? Think about that. What is stench for you? What is stench for us, for me, and for our church? It is my past experience or my head knowledge that imprisons my faith. That's what my stench is. Fear that prevents me from obeying the words of Christ. When God says something to us, we say, wait. Oh, but that's your stench. What is preventing you and me and the church from obeying God's word? Whatever that is, I'll spend some time to think about that. But answer to overcome that stench is what? Is to simply obey God's command with childlike faith. Here in this case, you don't have to think outside of box. You don't have to be creative. You don't need anybody's approval. Jesus says, remove the stone. Get that stench out of your way. How? Simply obey that command. That stench will be blown away when you obey. Now, how does Jesus respond to her? I want to talk about two things, how Jesus responds to Martha. First is by being patient. Look at verse 40 with me, everybody. Look at verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I don't think Jesus is rolling his eyes. Or if Jesus is going like this, Martha, I can't believe you just said that to me. You just said you believe. Remember, often Jesus rebuked his disciples. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Jesus does not rebuke her. Or Jesus said to unbelieving people, you unbelieving generation, wicked and adulterous generation, seeks after a sign. But at this time, in verse 40, Jesus is gentle and patient with her. Why? Because Martha has living faith, as weak as it is. Isaiah 42 verse 3 says this, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. So what I learned from this verse is, there she is, Martha, who just confessed great doctrine of Christ, yet failing to obey the simple command, remove the stone, she protests. No, Jesus. But in turn, Jesus responds to her in patience. In the beginning part, from verses 7 through 16, when Jesus delays his departure, after a few days, Jesus says to his disciples in verse 7, let us go to Judea again. Then you see disciples tell him and stalling him, saying, Jews were just about to kill you and you want to go there again. And Jesus has to patiently explain to disciples up to verse 16. And Jesus says, I highlighted it. You know how many times Jesus says in verse 7 following, let us go to Judea? And Jesus persuades them. Verse 11, I go to my friend. Verse 14, Lazarus is dead, but let us go to him. And people say, Thomas says, I want to go with him and die with him. So in the beginning part, Jesus is being very patient with his disciples. It is even comical to read all these verses. In chapter 11, I'm convinced no one understands Jesus right away. And no one obeys Jesus immediately, right? If you're Jesus and you've been with disciples and he says to them, let us go to Judea. What do you expect disciples to do? I expect them to say not anything, but to pack up and go. Because by this time, they should have known who Christ is. You have to trust and obey what Jesus says. But they don't do that. They argue with Jesus every time. And Jesus does not explode in anger, but he patiently guides them. Here too, he does not rebuke her, but gently says, did I not say to you? Why? Because Jesus loved them. That is why. Jesus loved disciples. Jesus loved Martha, her sister, Lazarus, and some of the elect who will gather around the tomb to witness this miracle. And I realize, what is the first characteristic of love? According to 1 Corinthians 13, very first one is this. Love is patient. Love is kind. And here we see Jesus loving Martha by being patient with her. Jesus wants Martha to grow in her faith. She confessed the right doctrine, but she has much to grow. Jesus wants Martha to overcome her fears. And we realize if we want someone under our care to grow, we must be patient. And I know we all lack that trait. So we need to pray to God to give us that trait. And in 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul, giving the last words to Timothy, he says this, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience. It's not simply preach the word. Only qualification here is with great patience. Not simply any patience, but with great patience. You see here, Jesus, the master teacher, who taught her the doctrine. But when he saw Martha failing in her faith, there is a gap. And Jesus, being patient with her, directs her. So Jesus' patience brings the gap to a close. Second thing is this. Jesus is not simply waiting without saying anything, but he is giving a little nudge, little encouragement, and little direction and reminder. He says, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? This is almost like spotting when you work out. You just gently lift up just a little bit to help the person who's pushing the iron, remember? So then I went to check the word believe. It is what is known as subjunctive, that is hypothetical, that is conditional even. So here she is, Martha, who already believes who Jesus is. But practically speaking, she couldn't really live up to her doctrine, but Jesus giving little push. And what Jesus is saying is this, I know you have believed, but keep on believing. That is what Jesus is saying. Simply keep on believing. Believe what? All that Jesus had said to her. It's interesting how Jesus says this. Did I not say to you, if you believe, that is, if you keep on believing what you have believed, you will see the glory of God. So there is correlation between persistence in believing in the word and promise of God, and not simply seeing the miracle, but seeing the glory of God. Very important truth about our Christian life. It's been 9 weeks since quarantine. 2020, this is terrible, terrible place to be for many, many people and families. And what are we supposed to do as Christians? Keep on believing is what we are supposed to do what? To simply get out of this quarantine time? No, to see and witness the glory of God in Christ, persevering. How can we persevere in this quarantine? If you are honest, this crisis must have revealed something about you, your shortcomings. But Jesus Christ is patient, not simply with Martha, but with you. When you fail to close the gap, but Jesus is patient with you and me. And in turn, that Jesus' patience encourages us to keep on believing. There's no other way. There's no other option. There's no other answer is given or suggested by our Lord Jesus Christ when she is failing. But to nudge her a little bit and says, keep on believing. Keep on believing. Then you will see the glory of God. Oftentimes, in times of crisis, we give up because we give God a chance. God, I am giving you this chance. Come through for me this time. By this time, I want you to act. When God tarries, when the Lord tarries, often we give up. But I encourage you today based upon what and how Jesus responded to Martha. And oftentimes, I'm telling you, all of us are like Martha. We know the right doctrines, but we do not live up to it. We fail. We protest. But good news is that Jesus is patient with all of us because Jesus loves us. Why? We don't know. Marvel at that love. We should persevere to the end. So our perseverance, keep on believing, will reduce the gap. Let us just recap what we have learned today. Gap between what we believe and how we respond in our lives must be minimized by faith. Second, let your fear of stench be blown away by the presence and power of Christ and the promise of the Word of God. Third, Jesus is patient with Martha. Jesus is patient with me because he loves me. In turn, I could be patient. Fourth and last one, it was all about glory of God, Jesus said. And I want to see the glory of God revealed in our lives and through our lives and through our church. And we need to keep on believing in his patience, we can persevere. Let us pray.